It's a category of print publishing called city or state magazines, and there are some great magazines in that category. New York Magazine, you may have heard of. Texas Monthly is another one. Chicago Magazine, Los Angeles Magazine, Phoenix Magazine, Boston Magazine, Philadelphia Magazine. There is no Kokomo Magazine, but maybe the folks that are behind Indianapolis Monthly will figure that. And Indianapolis Monthly is part of a family of some of the best city and state magazines in the country. Indianapolis Monthly has been around at least 30 years, maybe more. It started as a monthly magazine done by the Indianapolis Chamber of Commerce, and then it went out. And it's done by the people on the circle, Emmis. Yeah, I've heard of them. And I'm lucky that they have never put Goliath on the cover of Indianapolis Monthly, so I still have hope. The editor of Indianapolis Monthly is Amanda Heckert, and she joins me live. Welcome.
Thank you, Amos, for having me.
How would you describe Indianapolis Monthly? Because there are a lot of listeners that all they ever see, if they're not readers or subscribers of Indianapolis Monthly, what they see you next to the National Enquirer or that, that newspaper that says aliens discovered in the White House as they're checking out groceries.
That's right. We're trying to beat the rotisserie chickens. Mm-hmm. But we are a city magazine, so that means that we... I actually got my start at Atlanta Magazine. When I first fell in love with city magazines there because, you know, they're general interest, which means we get to cover a little bit of everything and dive deep into some topics. So we're covering, you know, lighter things like restaurants and shopping and travel, but also getting to dive into topics, you know, like crime and politics and religion. So I loved that there was... And that there is sort of a breadth of content there every month.
Is this the only type of magazine that now does that? What you do, what Atlanta, what New York Magazine does, what Texas Monthly, which I believe is an Emmis publication.
It is, yes.
You got the light and frothy stuff, but there are some very serious articles. And are we seeing more serious articles now in Indianapolis Monthly?
Well, you know, we think a lot every month about the mix. So, you know, we want there to be enough variety in every issue that, you know, there's going to be something there that appeals to a range of readers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, our goal is to both, you know, help you get to know your city and enjoy your city, but also to make you smarter about your city and maybe, you know, lead you to think about it in ways that you haven't before. So that's you know, a goal to tell terrific stories and covering those types of topics.
Now, you came from a very diverse market,
yes.
Atlanta. How was Atlanta Magazine diverse? I mean, how do you balance out a magazine where the African-American community is an integral part of that community, not just in terms of the history of Atlanta,
right.
but the way Atlanta is today. And I'm not talking about the Real Housewives because I don't think that's typical of Atlanta, but just in terms of what Tyler Perry has done in terms of boosting the entertainment economy of Atlanta and as well as the great African-American entrepreneurs in Atlanta.
Absolutely. It's a part of the fabric of that city, and it's something that, you know, we took seriously covering, and it was an inherent part of our coverage. You know, there is great diversity in Atlanta. It's a very global city. You know, after the 1996 Olympics, it sort of exploded in that regard, but it's also very economically diverse, too. And so, you know, making sure that you know, again, that mix of stories and that we're, a great city magazine reflects the city, and you can open up the pages and get an idea of what that city is like, and that's, you know, what we tried to do at Indianapolis Monthly, too.
So I had a couple of callers, just literally out of the blue, and we have open lines,
sure.
You know, folks bring up things that I might not think of, and they said, you know, what is with this magazine, because I open it up, and I don't see myself reflected in it, and you were gracious enough to send me a few copies, and one of the ones that got my attention was, let me see what month this is the January.
Yes.
Issue, and there was one talking about long-distance caregiving, and
not to interrupt you.
Yeah, go ahead.
But that's an advertising section.
No, I was going to get to that.
Oh, okay.
I realized it said advertising, and that's not the editorial. That's not what you're responsible for. That's the ad people
right.
paying the bills.
Sure.
But there was something I saw in the ad section that talked about seniors.
Uh-huh.
okay, here we were. I saw my community reflected in that. But then when I got to the ad section about all these beautiful brides, I said, couldn't they find at least one sister wearing a fancy bridal dress from one of the great bridal salons in here? And I realize that's not directly what you do, because you do the editorial, sure, the meat and potatoes of the paper. These are the people that do that. But the average person might pick up the January issue and go, what are they doing there?
That's a great point. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, we, you know, don't necessarily have the advertising section is one thing. But, you know, I think the diversity of the magazine, okay, the editorial content that we're responsible for, is frankly something I think we can be better at. Mm-hmm. You know, I think there is diversity in the magazine, but, you know, it's, I think that it, you know, I'd like to see it get better. And that's, you know, starts with me and mm-hmm. thinking about that mix and the stories that we cover. And, you know, not only that, but, and this is why I was really thankful for this opportunity to be on mm-hmm. your show today is, mm-hmm. you know, to hear from your listeners. And we, you know, part of it is reflecting the city and the diversity of the city in the magazine, but it's also diversifying our stable of writers. Mm-hmm. And we don't get a lot of magazine pitches mm-hmm. from non-white writers, frankly.
What's a magazine pitch? Because people sure. listening there may be people listening who are a writer or mm-hmm. who think they're a writer or may have some experience writing, but they don't know what a magazine pitch is. Or maybe their idea of it is not the reality. What's a magazine pitch?
So a magazine pitch, it can be as informal as an email that mm-hmm. says, hey, you know, Amanda, I've got this great idea for your magazine. Here's what the story is. Mm-hmm. Here's, you know, who I would talk to. Here's mm-hmm. why I think it's important, you know, for Indianapolis to know about. Mm-hmm. And here's where I could see it maybe going in the magazine. It could maybe, you know, maybe it's one of our front of book pieces, right, or maybe it's, you know, a feature length piece. But something I tell, you know, the people who are interested in writing for the magazine, you know, a few things to think about. There's, you know, We sometimes get really general pitches that don't work for us. So, for example, you know, someone might say, hey, there's this national trend. I would find people locally here and, mm-hmm. and talk about that. And we're not as interested in, you know, we want things that are really specific to Indianapolis, that are only happening here, that are special to the city, or people who are doing interesting things here in the city. Another thing is, you know, thinking about, the topics that we cover and making a story out of it. So mm-hmm. not just giving us a topic, like, for example, we had a writer who is interested in education. Right. So he's looking for stories within the topic of education so that we can tell those stories. And that's what great magazine stories do. So for one example, last August, one of our writers pitched a story about, you know, charter schools. And he mm-hmm. said, I want to follow a principal. They were starting the Phelan Leadership Academy. I want to follow that principal as he's trying to open the school and recruit those kids. And I'm going to, you know, that's what the story is going to be. And it's, we're sort of getting, you know, an idea of the challenges that charter schools face through the prism of this one story. And so that's something to think about too, is what is the story within that topic that we're going to be able to, you know, create compelling content for our readers.
Does the story, is it have to be good news about the city, or is it something where here's a story, here's a wart here, and maybe it's an important enough wart that it needs to get exposed to the light?
I think it's a mix of both. Mm-hmm. And I think the best city magazines do that. They're, you know, they celebrate their city, but they also take a frank look at what's going on and don't sugarcoat. You know, one of the things in our January issue that you were just talking about is we had a, you know, hot button issues feature that we did. And so sort of a primer for readers on, you know, here are the things that people are going to be talking about this year, you know, shortage of money for cops, the heroin problem, transportation, education. Mm-hmm. So it's, you know, it's important to be frank about your city, too.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's Amos, or you can send me a text message at 37890, keyword Amos, or a email at praiseindy.com. Talking with Amanda Heckert, the editor of Indianapolis Monthly. One of the things when we went out to do shows at the television stations last year, and trying to explain to the community how television has changed and how they want the community to react and respond to them. And they were saying, you know, don't assume we know what it is you're doing. Get us the information. We've got websites that the information could go on. The reporters all, you know, came on. Hey, we want to know this. The investigative report, hey, we want to hear the dirt. And people kind of know the television works on a more immediate basis. You guys are a magazine, so you're not like the Indianapolis Recorder, where the community kind of knows the, you know, the Recorder gets published on a Wednesday, it comes out on a Thursday. You are a magazine, so in a community where this Black community, we're used to wait until the last minute to tell the media what's going on. You guys don't work that way,
right?
What's a deadline? So if we're here in February, it means you have put the March issue to bed. It's at the printer.
It is gone.
It's gone.
It'll be in our hands here in probably the next week.
So you're working on May.
We have, we're getting in, here's where we sit right now.
Okay.
We, you know, March is going to be coming in the door. We're starting to work on April proofs.
That means it's written. You want to look and see.
Now it's in layout.
How pretty is it going to look?
How pretty is it? Mm-hmm. And we're getting May stories in. If any of my writers are listening, you can get them in anytime now.
Which means you got to know everything about the race, all these new things they're doing. If they don't tell you by now, it's not going to be in this year.
That's true. And so we're already starting to assign June stories this week. And we're already thinking ahead to July, August. So it's a challenge for us too, because, you know, we're, you know, not the daily newspaper. People aren't coming to us for that, you know, everyday news, but, you know, so it's a challenge for us. And how do we make this fresh? You know, how do we remain relevant, you know, 3 or 4 months down the road? And, you know, one way that we do that is, you know, by diving deep into stories and giving them the time they need and the reporting to really flesh stories out. We also try to think really visually. So is there a way that we can approach this story in maybe a way that hasn't been done before? So maybe an annotation or a timeline or a really beautiful photo essay.
Does the long lead time hurt in the calendar section of the magazine, because that's an important part of the magazine? Or is that something where the website is now more important on terms of the calendar, what's going on in the community?
It's a little bit of both. It can be a challenge to know everything that's going on in that month. And so the website is there and allows us to maybe, you know, report things that came in after the print deadline, even do some things that we don't do in the print magazine, like preview some shows, you know, that happens too soon for the print edition. So the website has been a really great, you know, arm of the magazine, allowing us to tell different types of stories.
239-1310, 239-1310 is Afternoon's name. She's going to put on her headphones. We promise not to take a picture of her, because that would not be fashionable in Indianapolis Monthly. See the editor with the headphones. Let me go to Anonymous at 239-1310. Hi there.
Yeah, how's it going?
Fine.
Hey, I kind of heard her a little bit. I'm going to ask her, what's going to make her different from the other reporters and newspapers all over the country? You get like two or three topics, and everybody keep on repeating the same old thing. So what's going to make her different? I'll take it off there. Thank you.
That's a great question. What makes city magazines different? I think implicit in the caller is newspapers sometimes take the same story, and you might see different takes on the story, city after city after city. Is it fair to say that the city magazines, the state magazines, all have different – do their own different thing? It's not like everybody's writing about preschool, or everybody's writing about violence, or everybody's writing about the hip new fashion of the day.
Right. I mean, there are so many stories that we wish that we could do. But what we can, you know, a lot of different topics, even, you know, geographically, trying to get all around Indianapolis and tell those stories. But, you know, I think that what we can do, one example is, you know, we're able to really dive into, you know, small, say, news bites that you read in the newspaper, and we're able to recognize, you know, there's a story there that maybe, say, the newspaper doesn't have the time and the resources to invest in fleshing out. So one example was, you know, last year there was this little news brief, I think it even may have been in the IBJ, that, you know, said, you know, Ponzi schemer, who, you know, cheated people out of millions of dollars, was missing for 10 years, found in rural Oregon, and kills himself in sort of a confrontation with police. And that was it. that was the little news bite. Mm-hmm. And we said, well, there's got to be more to that story. Mm-hmm. And so we were able to put a reporter on it, and he spent probably 6 months following that story, figuring out what, you know, that Ponzi schemer, this, you know, local Ponzi schemer had been doing for 10 years, and he'd assumed this alias and was living this completely different life. It was just a really fascinating story. And again, we sort of have the time and the resources as a city magazine. You know, that long lead time that we were talking about can right. can be a pain sometimes. But on the other hand, it allows us to kind of tell these stories that maybe wouldn't get told otherwise.
If you have somebody pitching you a story, how do you make sure that writer is writing the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, that they don't get you guys in an embarrassing situation?
That's a great question. So every single one of our stories, no matter how small, even if it's a little blurb, mm-hmm. is fact-checked. Mm-hmm. So we're calling the primary sources. We're looking up, you know, news articles to make sure those facts are corroborated. We have a source for every single fact that we run. And that's an important part of what we do. If we can't be trusted, then, you know, they're not going to pick us up the next month.
Let me go to Raymond at 239-1310. Hi there.
Hi, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I have a question. I'm wondering, because it says Indianapolis Monthly, and I've seen, I've read it, and I've stopped to read it sometimes on the way to check out to see if I want to get it, but I've noticed there's a heavy slant toward the suburban areas, and that would not be called, quote-unquote, Indianapolis or Marion County. And I know that Hamilton County and some of the others have their own town names. So at what point do you say we need to focus on, or is there some additional things you're going to do for some of the actual Indianapolis-related mm-hmm. topics?
That's a great question. Thank you, Raymond.
Sure.
You know, that's something we think about a lot, too. You know, the magazine was started in 1977, Indianapolis Monthly, and our focus is we, you know, sort of try to laser focus on Marion County and the Donut County. So we do cover those suburban areas, and we have a lot of readers out there, too. But it is important to strike a balance. And, you know, it's funny, we get, you know, we get complaints sometimes that we're too suburban focused. We'll get complaints from suburban readers that were too city-focused. Will get complaints from the South Side that we don't do enough stories about them. And these are all valid. This is all valid feedback. And you know, it's a balance that we think about a lot.
Given that we're about to have in this city, I guess, for the next several months, the leaks that are coming out of the mayor's office about what he may say next week in his State of the City speech about attracting people from the suburbs and the country back to the city, there's some buzz that says we don't, as a city, do enough talking about the different neighborhoods of the city. Yeah, we talk about Mass Avenue. Mm-hmm. We talk about Broad Ripple. We talk about who invented Sobro. Somebody in a bar somewhere. We occasionally talk about Meridian Kessler or Butler Tarkington, but we rarely hear, going back to whether it's the South Side, whether it is Wayne Township, we hear the townships, but we don't hear neighborhoods. As you look at what Indianapolis Monthly does, is that, I don't want to really say a valid criticism, I think it's more valid criticism of how we view this city mm-hmm. than to point fingers necessarily at your magazine. Is it something, though, you may need to look at, that there are lifting up, mm-hmm. what do you call Pike Township? What do you call the area where Bert Servais, God rest his soul, lived in Wendale? What kind of great stories are there in terms of lifting up neighborhoods? Because there's no way they're going to put 50,000 people making more than $50,000 a year in downtown in Broad Ripple. Ain't enough space. So right. people, you know, so this thing is doomed if we don't start talking about the vibrancy of all of our neighborhoods.
And, you know, I think that goes back to reflecting your city and how do we do that mm-hmm. and showing your city. And I think that, you know, a lot of our staff lives, if not downtown, in Marion County mm-hmm. and in a different neighborhoods. You know, we have Pike Townshipers. I live on the Near East Side mm-hmm. And have really enjoyed that. And one thing we do in the magazine every month, and this is just a little thing, but we have a spread that's called Street Savvy. Mm-hmm. And it's a chance for us to take a look at some of those neighborhoods and, you know, let readers know what's going on there now. If you haven't been, you know, over on 10th Street lately, what's happening there? Well, mm-hmm. you know, there's the TikTok Lounge, there's, you know, 10 Comic Coffee, there's things like that. And so it's a way every month that we can give readers a little window into maybe a neighborhood that they haven't been to in a while and let them know what's going on there.
In terms of staff diversity, and I think this is a criticism of all city magazines, they ain't the most diverse things in the world. Neither are daily newspapers. Yet you work for a very diverse media company.
Yes.
What is Indianapolis Monthly doing to try to get more diversity in your little offices down there, in the big building on the Circle made of gold?
Right. No, you're right. We have a mostly white staff, and that's a challenge. I mean, I think you miss out on stories when there is the diversity isn't there. And so, you know, as I was saying before, I hope that, you know, again, one reason I'm really excited to talk to your listeners is, you know, we're looking for new writers. We're looking for fresh voices, different viewpoints. And, you know, we were talking about those pitches. I try to sit down with everyone who comes and asks about, you know, pitching the magazine. I would love to, if you have any listeners that are interested. I was trying to recruit Charmaine out there.
but, so people listening, how do they hook up with you?
Well, email me. My email address, and we can maybe link to it too, but it's aheckert, and that's H-E-C-K-E-R-T at indianapolismonthly.com. And, you know, one other thing is, you know, a couple of other things, actually. You know, we have a great internship program, and we've seen an improvement in the diversity of that internship program. We're getting some really standout students from IUPUI and Ball State and IU, and I think that's really important, too, to help that new generation of writers develop. You know, something else that's a goal for me here in these next few months is to, and we haven't done this in years, but establish an editorial board and have that editorial board be diverse and it be a sounding board, you know, that we can sit down with them, say, once a quarter and hear about what they think that we need more of in the magazine, what types of stories we're missing, what we're doing right, and maybe how we can do better. And that's a goal for me in the next few months.
All right, so what is the cover of the March issue of Indianapolis Monthly?
So the cover is all about how to start your own business.
Wait a minute. So now, did you find any black owned businesses in this? How to start your own? Because the reason I bring that up, we were talking yesterday, and we did a show from Harry and Izzy's. And State Farm was involved, and we were talking to a bunch of agents. And I don't think the audience realized that agents for State Farm, they're their own independent business people. And so we were talking to some agents. One has an office on Mass Avenue. And I'm going, wait, a brother with an office on Mass Avenue? Another one was out, got an office east of Glendale. Another one is out on the right side of 465 going towards Eagle Creek. So it's areas where you wouldn't think of minority-owned businesses. They've been there. And it's like that's a business nobody thinks of in terms of insurance.
That's a good point. Yeah. We have a lot of entrepreneurs. So one, for example, that we talked to is, and I hope I'm not butchering his name, but Ben Diallo, who has Jay Benzel. He's had a successful business, and he's opening up a new boutique in Carmel. So we heard from him about, you know, what does it take to open a boutique? What is that like? And so there's a lot of different entrepreneurs who kind of guided us through that process, because Indianapolis is you know, apparently now a good place to open a business. There isn't, you know, as much overhead and that sort of thing.
All right. It is Indianapolis. But now, where else can somebody get it besides the grocery store?
Well, you know, you can always come by our offices downtown, but CVS, the grocery store,
Walgreens,
Barnes & Noble, although bookstores are, you know, there aren't that too many of them left these
days. I know New York Magazine announced recently that they were going to go, because they're in every week. They had been. Now they're going to every other week. I think everybody else is monthly. How is the health of the city magazine industry?
You know, there were some tough years. You know, when I was back in Atlanta Magazine, which was also an MS magazine, it was tough. I mean, there were some days I wasn't sure I was going to come back to a job the next day. But it's thankfully picking up. And, you know, I think the Indianapolis Monthly, we had our best year this past year than maybe we've had in 5 years. There's hope there. And, you know, we've had a lot of digital growth, too, as we've started to kind of beef up IndianapolisMonthly.com. So I'm hopeful.
The magazine is Indianapolis Monthly. It is available wherever magazines are sold, or they have a website at IndianapolisMonthly.com. And Amanda is looking for folks to write. Now this is not just you write an essay. You got to work.
Right.
This is not just I have a poem and I want to submit it. No, you're the reporter. You're the freelancer. You're going out there. You're doing the work. You're providing the information. They fact check it. Everything checks out, and you could end up with a Pulitzer if it was really good enough. You never know.
Maybe not a Pulitzer, but we have some awards of our own.
You have some awards, yeah, and you could. Have you all ever, because Texas Monthly always gets all the awards in the magazine. When are you going to knock them out?
I'm ready, Amos.
You're ready? Yeah, why do they always have to
maybe
get?
Maybe this year. Let's see.
Yeah, this is your year. Amanda Eckert, thanks very much for being with us. Glad to have you.
Thank you so much for having me.